Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. Tonight, we said, I think it was last Sunday, we were talking about the Patriot Act. So we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to go into a little bit more detail about what that actually entails. I think a lot of the times we hear some of the rhetoric out there, but we don't really understand quite a bit about it. So I want to dive into that a little bit, as well as I wanted to talk about some of the rhetoric coming out of the White House. And I know it's all, you know, that those political games that they play, but it really seems like they're trying to demonize one side over the other. So at any rate, how you doing today, Brian? I know we're recording this earlier in the day, so it's not the typical nighttime stuff, but how are you doing? I guess it's too early to tell, right?
No, it's always good, man. It's, you know, I like getting up in the morning, getting things done. So I figure at some point in the day, we all sort of say, you know, we kind of hit the wall. It's like, I just really like to do nothing the rest of the day, or I'd like to really do nothing that I have to do. I want to just do something. I want to, like, you know, whatever, do something different. And so I like getting things done. And then so that way later in the day, I can say, all right, I don't need to do anything right now. I can go out and enjoy myself and, like, have fun. And maybe that's do something, like go out and build something or work with them. But it's nothing that I have to get done. So I love getting on the morning and doing this kind of stuff because, you know, we need to get the shows out. We need to have the shows show up on time for people. And I like doing this.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So before we get into that stuff, though, I did see this. This happened a day or two ago. But I think it's the reason I want to talk about this, because I think it's hilarious. I think it is one of those things like politicians need stuff like this, because otherwise they just forget about it. But it's Ron DeSantis shipping two airplanes full of immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. And we talked about this on Wednesday, how they, you know, with the crime problems, the inner cities, all these things they don't fix because they don't see it on a daily basis. So they don't really care. I think this, I like the fact that these governors are doing this stuff, because I think it forces them to at least address the situation and care. We can play part of this clip if you want, or they basically say the same thing we're going to talk about. But what are your thoughts on the whole?
I think you're right. And let me start off by saying, dude, like, and we've said this over and over again, I don't like the fact that people are being used. But let's be clear. The reason our border is wide open and people are coming here to live under the radar illegally, with chances getting thrown out and all the shit that goes with it, is because of politics, right? Like, we know that they could fix this system if they wanted to, but they don't. They want to use this political system. So with that, the fact that he sent two plane loads of people to Martha's Vineyard, and like, it's shutting them down. Like, because the Martha's Vineyard, Chicago, New York, well, we're sanctuary cities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's great until you, it's like the people saying that they, you know, like, hey, I'll go do that with you, you know, on something. And then you go to do it, like, hey, I'll help you move anytime, bud. Anything you need, let me know. And it's like fucking moving day and like crickets, you know, a week before moving, you hear crickets from people kind of thing. That sort of thing. Right. So now it's like, oh, now we have to put up. Well, we don't like this. This is inconvenient. And you think about it, like, it's how many people is Texas and Florida and Arizona and all these other states down there dealing with? And these people are screaming with this. And then you have Lori Lightfoot, right, in Chicago, took a bunch of people that they sent up. I don't know if they came from Florida or Texas, but ended up in Chicago. And then she shipped them out to a Republican area.
Yeah.
Now Lori Lightfoot's shipping out to Republican areas to cause them problems. Like, literally, this is the insanity of our political system right now. Yeah. It's insane. Like,
in what realm
do politicians feel that it's okay? And I'm not, you know, again, you know my feelings. I'm like, hey, the whole immigration crisis is a political stunt because it can be fixed. But both sides are using these people right now as pawns in this game of, it's like a bunch of little kids flicking boogers on each other.
They're literally using people as chess pieces. Yeah.
I don't even, I think it's checkers. Like, it's so outlandish that, like, oh my gosh, I look at it and it's,
The thing
we
I think
that
that's
broken where the government is illegally transporting illegal immigrants around the inside of the country as checkers pieces, pawns or whatever. Like, aren't they trafficking people? Like, if you and I did that, like, hey, Jesus, you know, hop in the back with your family. I'll take you to where you want to go. We'd go to fucking jail for trafficking humans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck is going on?
The thing I think is that's hilarious about this is DeSantis is great at this. He's like Trump that actually does shit that makes sense. But the fact that he's sending it basically to their doorstep, because a lot of the ex-politicians and politicians spend time in Martha's Vineyard, right? So it's not he's putting them right at their gated community and saying, here you go. Now you have to face the problem. And I think my understanding is
like places like, see, part of Martha's Vineyard's gig and other places like that, is all the rich people move there. They have all their big houses and their estates. There's a little bit of interest. It's like going to Malibu in California. Like, Malibu's in Southern California. It's in part of Los Angeles County, but you have to kind of get a hike out of the city to get there. And so it's where all the rich people live, because it's kind of a pain in the ass to get there. Martha's Vineyard and all that's the same way. And they don't have lots of hotels. So they keep it exclusive by like you just no place for you to stay. It's like kind of a pain in the butt. So now the fact that they're taking illegals or whatever, undocumented, whatever people want to refer to them. Please. I don't know what the term is this week. So, hey man, sorry, get what I get. Right. Anyhow, like the fact that they're dropping them in the middle of these exclusive communities that they've never had to deal with bullshit.
I think it's fantastic
and hysterical.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's all political games and all political moves and all that crap. But I just think it's something at some point they have to face the music and what the problems are. When you live in these gated communities, I think they should send some to Hollywood too. All these actors, all these people care about the human rights, as long as they don't have to look at it in the face. As long as it doesn't take a crap on their lawn.
You don't need to send a bunch of illegals to Hollywood to have Hollywood. Like, the Hollywood is overrun by just shitstorms now.
Like, well, Hollywood Hills or something, you know,
the whole area. No, that whole area, it's overrun. Yeah, where I grew up was like a working class neighborhood when I grew up there. My dad was a mechanic, right? And then over the years, as Hollywood kind of expanded, as like it got too expensive for the lesser known, shittier actors to live in Hollywood, then they moved out to this place called Silver Lake and on. Eventually, they got to where I grew up with my dad. And now they've gentrified the whole area. And it's tragically hysterical, because you'll go down, I'll drive down the street, and because of all the lockdowns in California, COVID stuff, they have all these outdoor, and it's California, the weather's fairly nice and usually. They have all these seating out on the sidewalks, and they put barriers out in the street, so you sit out in the street. Well, they don't fucking water the medians anymore because it's of the drought and all the shit. So all the trees and all the grass that you can look out upon across the street are all dried up, right? Then you have like homeless people wandering around and taking shits on the sidewalk. I had a buddy literally was just down in San Diego like 2 months ago. He's like, dude, I couldn't figure it out. And then I finally realized one morning having coffee, all the stores had pressure washers in front of them in the morning, because they had to pressure wash the human shit off the sidewalk. It's not cheap to live in San Diego, dude. Right? Yeah. Same like where all this gentrification happened. So you'll have like people sitting there dropping $100 on a breakfast or $75 on a breakfast for two people. And a homeless guy just like left a deuce sitting right on the other side of the barrier the night before. And as long as they're in that barrier, they don't think that any of that shit's fucking happening. Like, oh, that, no, it's not happening around me. And then because they play with the semantics. So it's not homeless people out there. It's our unhoused neighbors. How the fuck are you a neighbor if you don't have a house, bitch?
Yeah.
Or there's a place to live in. I'm sorry. You're homely. You don't have a fucking place. So they play with all those semantics out there. So that place has been a fucking train wreck for going on. Oh, I'd say 15, 20. Hollywood is a fucking disaster. That whole area is a fucking disaster. And that's the pro that, that shows you how ignorant those people are when it comes to understanding what's going on. Again, you could be having a fucking mimosa with an orange barrier in front of you, a waiter wearing a mask, but you and talking to your friend aren't going to get COVID, and a homeless person left the shit on the other side of the barrier. And like, that's life. That's what it looks like out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you wonder how bad it's got to get before they pay attention. I know in Texas, in El Paso, and that's a Democratic town or Democrat town. The mayor there, or governor, one or the other, is actually sending busloads of people as well. So when you've got the Democrats doing it, it really shows that people that, you know, when you're far away from the issue, you're not paying attention to it. But down there, they're just getting inundated. And it's not fair to the people doing it either, because give them this this idea of hope, they're going to travel 2,000 miles or however long, this treacherous journey, just in the hopes of getting over here. So it's
I think it's a shitty situation. I think the left and those people that do that, I think they dehumanize.
Yeah.
They don't look at a homeless person for like they'll throw some like just some glib shit like, oh, you know, mental health, veterans and all this, like they'll throw some bullshit on it to like you should feel sorry for these people. And then they donate a little bit, but like they don't truly have an understanding of it. Right. So it's like they dehumanize them by not even really thinking. They think of them as an idea, an ideology, not as these individuals that are out there fucking suffering, not getting fucking medical care. Like, oh, you know, like you really feel sorry for them? Okay, because there are $1-3 million homes that I see out there within 200 yards of homeless camps, 100 yards of homeless camps, homeless people sleeping out in front of them sometimes.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, if you're really that concerned with making sure that they're safe and taken care of, let that motherfucker in your house, bitch. Let him come in and stay with you. Help them out. They don't want it. They don't do that. Because they don't truly give, it doesn't bother them that much. It's a fucking political issue they can vote on and abscond people's tax dollars to not solve the problem. But no, I think that I think that those areas are so shot out, and it just shows the level of decay is so bad. It shows how just fucking asinine the majority of people that live in those areas are, because they don't demand results and they keep, you know. They live in there.
Maxine Waters keeps coming to mind with what you were just talking about there, because I think she runs one of the, or presides over one of the worst districts in the country as far as crime and poverty and all that stuff. Yet she still gets elected. I guarantee you she doesn't live in that district or in those where those people live that vote for her. Yet she still gets in there all the time. So if she had to, maybe her tune would change on all this stuff.
And I don't know where she lives. I mean, it gets back to the fucking problem again, though, of, dude, all you have to do is look at the fucking numbers. Like, what's your graduation rate? What's your, you know, unborn or unwed child rate? What's your the amount of people in your area on government assistance? All that shit. To tell how your fucking constituents are doing. And the fact that that fucking old bat's been in charge, been like the leader, the representative, that's it, that you're the representative of those constituents, and they're still in that same thing, shows just how fucking rigged the system is, how terrible she is. And yeah, they keep voting for her because she fucking, in some way, she pulls on their heartstrings or some shit that she gets them to vote for.
Well, what other choice do they have?
Money and all that. And that's exactly what the case is.
Yeah.
And think about that. If the way the parties are rigged nowadays, if you're a Republican, try to run against her, Republican Party's not going to give you much money because they know, like, what's the chances of defeating her? So you're like up from the get go, you're up against trying to unseat like this, you know, in in like a lot of military stuff, they say if you're going to attack an entrenched opponent, a defended opponent, you usually want three to one odds or better. Right. So for every three people that you have, you know, or the one that they have, you need three, because you're going to take a lot of casualties and all that. I think it's like when you're hitting the trying to take a seat and do right by the people and get one of these incumbent politicians out, because of the way the system is, because of the parties and all that. It's like the same thing. Like, you have to be so much better than them and have so much. And where do you, and how do you overcome their funding, that if they can, like, if the Democratic Party really had a challenger to Maxine Waters, they could just pump in as much money as they can muster to get her. And you're the person that's trying to do it. So what are you doing? You're having to take it again. I think you can see, you know, it shows how these politicians do. Just look at their districts.
Yeah. Well, and it's the short term thinking by people too that allow this stuff, because I've seen it happen here in Colorado, where 30 years ago we were a pretty conservative state, and over the years, over the long haul, just, you know, incrementally, Colorado has turned in to, I mean, grant, they call it purple now, I'm not so convinced of that anymore, but I've seen all sorts of ads out here in Colorado just to, and this kind of leads into my next segment with the calling the conservative ideology extreme and all that. Democrats have pumped in so much money to bolster up their Democrat, the people that are running. Nothing. It's almost like the Republicans have abandoned Colorado because they know it's not possible. So the more people see this stuff, it's about the short term and about what are the issues right now. They don't think about the long term, about we're turning into California. People don't think about that right now.
Well, you know, I think you get back to the problem again. It's about with the Republican Party, right? Like, why did Colorado turn? You can argue that, okay, Denver became really big and liberal and all that stuff. Well, the Republican Party wasn't doing it for, you know, when I was a Republican, I used to get, and one of the reasons I stopped and years ago was like, they would get promised you all this shit and get in the office. And it's what the Democrats are doing to their side. They'd promise you all this shit and get in the office. And then you would see them not do anything. It was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, you're not trying, like, you're not doing this shit. And I was like, oh, you're full of shit. So, you know, I look at that, like with Colorado, it's like, well, what's really happening there? And I think it like kind of leads into the next segment is, what do you define as a conservative? If you have to come up with a definition of conservative, what's your definition of a conservative? Because I think we conflate these days a lot of times conservative values with being a Republican. I think the Republicans try to fucking abscond with being a conservative. Maybe. I don't know. What do you define conservative as?
I think it's because they kind of push, and they being the Democrats in office, not Democrats, the people, but the people in office push that. They're pushing it to the point right now where it's if you have conservative values, if you are, I know they talk about how the extreme right wing and this and that, but they don't say that all the time. That is just their excuse. Most of the time, like this clip from Pierre right here, I'm going to talk about this to start this off, but they're conflating that if you don't agree with us mentality, then you have an extreme ideology. If you don't agree with the majority of the people, and the majority of the people are them in their minds, the people that they listen to and talk to every day, then you have an extreme ideology. And these days, bipartisanship, especially when Biden's talking and stuff, being bipartisan means you come to our side and agree with us, and then we call it bipartisan. But it there's no concession on the other side, because that's an extreme ideology.
Well, I think the concession is always the backroom deals. Like, how it's like why they put so many.
Yeah.
When they want a big bill to get through that has a bunch of something that's really important to them, whether, you know, like the Affordable Health Care Act or the whatever, they tend to throw a bunch of stuff in there that benefits all these different politicians. So that way they get their votes. But so I looked up, I just did a search on Brave browser, and I said, you know, what my search is, definition of conservatism. And it says it's a political philosophy based on tradition and social stability, stressing established institutions and preferring gradual development to abrupt change, specifically such a philosophy calling for lower taxes, limited government regulation of business and investing, a strong national defense and individual financial responsibility for personal needs, such as retirement income or health coverage. So I think that's a lot different than a Republican, right? I think so. I think this definition actually conflates some stuff on the Republican because, you know, again, we talk about it and it's like, I think if our country is doing well enough, people should, we should help people have health care and do all that stuff so that they can focus more on living a good, productive life and contributing and all that stuff. But I think being a conservative differs than being a Republican these days.
Yeah. I'll tell you what that definition right there is, and that's the exact opposite of a Democrat.
Yeah.
But I think conservatives take some of those and will talk about those things, but like you said, don't ever do anything. Whereas Democrats get in there and they run with the football and they try to cram through anything they can.
Well, think about this. Part of this says here, right? So it calls for, where was that? I think it was smaller government, basically is what it said, limited government and all that stuff. Let me ask you, because we know that this doesn't apply to Democrat. We all know what you and I think about the Democratic Party. And what I get back up with this, though, is do the Republicans believe in smaller government? People who are Republicans, like people like the members of like people, some people who I, you know, are Republicans believe in smaller government. But does the Republican Party and Republican politicians, do they operate off of a, you know, do they operate off of going for limited and smaller government? I don't see that. I mean, again, you know, we're going to talk about the Patriot Act. They all voted, you know, that was a Republican deal. They've had many opportunities to do that. I think so. I kind of look at it like they're not really about a smaller government either, right? Like, I mean, can we, the military industrial complex, all the branching out into that? So I think that's where like it's good for conservatives to look to actually dial in on some of these things to understand these are my values. And what do does the people in the party I believe in or that I'm considering giving my vote to, do they reflect those values? Or are they doing, are they saying this and then tying in and actually doing something different? Like, what are their actions show?
Yeah. And that's the being in between a rock and a hard place that is being a conservative, because you got the Republican Party that blows a lot of smoke up your ass and doesn't do a whole lot. And then you've got the Democrat Party that if they say they're going to do something, you better damn believe they're going to do it. So watch out. I mean, that's basically this political system. And then behind the scenes, they're all working together anyway. So it's just it's a crazy machine. But anyway, back on with this Pierre chick talking and this whole, you know, Biden with his fiery speech from hell, with the red backdrop, with his ultra MAGA, with his extreme this and extreme that, all these ads I've seen in Colorado from these Democrat super PACs. I don't even know who it is. Probably all the same group. They got a whole bunch of money, though. But it's always the extreme. And they're painting that the conservatives as being those extreme, having that extreme ideology. If you don't agree with us, then you are wrong. And that's basically what she's saying right here. I'll play this and then we can talk about that a little bit. Maybe I'll play this.
And again, we see majority of Americans who disagree.
And a little hard to hear, sorry.
When you are not with where majority of Americans are, then, you know, that is extreme. That is an extreme way of thinking. And
so if you don't think the way that we think, that is an extreme way of thinking. So that is extreme. It's
okay. Well, and the problem that she runs into there is, again, it's all about them defining things. So they're defining what the majority is. Right. And because you could go throw a question out there, and if you want to throw like a really race-based question out there or something like that, you can really define like having different communities, because at the end of the day, the Black community is only about 20% of this American society. So if you throw a question out there, if the other 80% answer it the way that they don't want to answer it, about that they don't want to have answered, then who's the extreme? Right? Again, it's they're trying to use this the definition to say that anybody doesn't, and what they're really saying is, if you don't think like us, it's not, has nothing to do with numbers, has nothing to do with how many people think a certain way. It's if you don't think like us, you are extreme.
Yeah. And how many times in history has the mainstream narrative led to, you know, it, the stuff that happened in Germany, the stuff that happened in Russia, all of those things, the things that people agree on, because a lot of people in the Weimar Republic, when the economy was in the tank, and a lot of people agreed that they needed somebody to change things up. And look where that mainstream narrative led them.
Yeah. So what she also gets wrong is, man, ultimately what it needs to be about is our country is about protecting the right. It's easy for the people in charge or for the people in the majority to say, this is the way everything needs to be. The hard part is it's like getting back to flag burning. I don't like seeing someone burn our flag, right? My thing, like I've been raised that way. I don't like seeing someone burn our flag. And at the same time, when I think about someone going out there and burning that flag, in a way, it's like, wow, that's the ultimate symbol of freedom. Mm-hmm. Because in a lot of countries, you'd catch a bullet for that. Right. So that's that ultimate symbol of freedom. So what does that mean? That the majority of Americans are probably against flag burning, and that we would all see that, hey, we need to protect the rights of that minority. Like that's when it gets hard. That's when freedom's hard. When it's protecting the rights of the people that you don't agree with the shit they're doing because it goes against the grain, but it shouldn't be, but it's not illegal and it shouldn't be because that's a freedom of expression. And so that's what they're fucking up on. They're trying, oh no, you're going against the majority. No, you're actually trying to, they're trying to say that they're protecting the minority, but the minority, somehow she's trying to conflate protecting the minority as a majority opinion and trying to say, if you go against that, that's not always the case. Again, everybody needs to be on board with protecting the minority opinion, even when that minority opinion might be something about the MAGA crowd and that they support Trump. Hey, you know what my opinion is on Trump. I'm not the fan, but you have to protect those fucking people's rights. That's what our country is based on. And that's what those autocrats don't want.
Yeah. And this is the exact reason it's that mob rule. It's that democracy thing that they keep going to. And this is the exact reason our founding fathers set this up as a representative republic, because just because you get the majority of people that think one way, they don't have the right to make the decisions for everyone else. But the way these people are doing it, and the way a lot of people think on that side of the aisle, are because we have the majority, because this is a quote unquote democracy, we get to decide, we get to make the rules. It's really unfair when you also factor in the fact that this mainstream narrative is also reinforced from the mainstream media that is in cahoots or aligned, almost all of them aligned with the Democrat Party. So of course that mainstream narrative is going to get out there. But you're not allowed to question anymore. You're not allowed, or this is what they're saying anyway. You're not allowed to question things. And if you do, you're going to get put in that box of that extremist, of that person that, you're just out of touch with the rest of the people. And honestly, well, I kind of wear that as a badge of courage because I don't want to be part of that groupthink bullshit.
So, you know, it's one of the things too that, like, when we talk about it, I think we need to, people need to think about this, right? So they keep saying, oh, over half the country, you know, wanted Biden. That's what the left says. And then on the right, we say, dude, it was like super close race, one of the closest race in history. And it was, you know, almost, you know, about just slightly over half the people. It was like really close, like, you know, like a small percentage of people. Biden won by a small percentage. So I'm looking at the numbers here. In the 2020 election, 81 million people voted for Biden. 51% of the votes cast, and 74 million voted for Trump, 46% of the votes cast. When you add those two numbers together, that's 155 million, right? That's less than half of the country for the most contested. We have about 330 million people in this country.
Yeah.
That's less than half of the country bothered to go out and vote. So when you get down to it, barely, maybe a quarter of the people wanted Biden and like 20 something percent wanted Trump. The rest of the people in the most hotly contested election of our lives, said, it's not, I'm not even going to fucking bother with. Now,
yeah,
there are people like me who put in for an absentee ballot and it showed up a year later, ripped in half. I don't think those numbers are in the fucking millions, probably not the tens of millions for sure, but there may be some. And because it doesn't take a lot to influence election, right? You don't need a lot of people. You just need a very specific area of thing to happen to influence an election.
Yeah.
So less than half of the people thought it worth their while in the most hotly contested election of our lives to vote. So when they say half the country, it isn't half. Half the country said, I don't like either of those two pricks. And the other half went to battle over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the true numbers.
That's where we are as a country. Yeah. And the one third or whatever of people, one half of people that actually voted and give a crap are just at war with each other because of the people on top. And the other ones are just, you know, at the bottom, just saying, I just need to, I'm just going to work. All these people are just fucking idiots.
Well, and the more the Democratic and Republican parties play their games and the more bullshit that goes back and forth, the more people that are hemorrhaging and that are joining that 50%+ that sat in the middle and said, no, I'm not participating. Right. And I think one of the things that probably terrifies them, and I don't even know if they think about this, is that 50%+ should terrify the fuck out of them. Because their inaction says a lot. Their inaction not to vote. Like by that, they're being so apathetic or so disgusted with our system is a fucking huge statement. To give up the, like, I'm not going to vote because I think it's so fucked. Now, that might be what they want in some ways. But when that group of people, that's the kind of group of people that got Trump elected, right? That group of people gets pissed off with the electoral process. And or they get behind somebody, it's going to provide it. It's going to be an avalanche, and they're all waiting.
Yeah.
The question is, do those fucking assholes? Does it set up? Is the system rigged so that they'll never get their opportunity, or is the system rigged where they get so pissed off eventually shit just fucking clacks off and we go down a whole nother way of reforming our government?
Yeah. Those people that don't vote, those people that are not in, that don't want to pay attention to the politics and all that stuff, those people are also probably unpredictable when you think, and I'm sure they have demographics and studies and stats and all this crap of where people align, even if they don't vote and all that. But I think if you're talking about some sort of uprising or social uprising, something, even, you know, Civil War 2.0, I think that group of people is probably unpredictable as far as which way they would go. And they'd all go their own ways. I'm not saying it would go one way or the other, but that's a different mentality. The person that doesn't want to be involved in all that stuff than say like somebody like us that is involved in it constantly. It's a different mentality. So it is a bit of unpredictability there about where that would, you know, where that would flow, I suppose. So interesting. All right. So let's get into this whole Patriot Act stuff. And I suppose, I mean, we don't really, there's a couple things. First off, I'm going to say I've got this article from the ACLU. And no, I have not been brainwashed. The reason that I pulled this article up, because as I was looking for this stuff, I wanted a detailed kind of what's in it, why is it bad, all that stuff. And this was one of the most detailed articles on the topic. So that's why I chose this one. And it really illustrates how this issue, regardless of if you're Democrat or Republican, everybody is basically united in the fact that this is a piece of shit. Basically.
Well, no, I would say it would be more, not so much Democrats and Republicans. Where you align politically doesn't matter because most people agree that this is.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, on the ACLU thing, the ACLU, I think, like, jumped the shark here recently with some of the ways that they didn't defend freedoms recently. Right. I always, in even though they rubbed me wrong sometimes in the past, I always liked the fact that, like, you would have like the ACLU with a Jewish attorney defending U.S. skinheads. Like, it was always like, hey, man, you guys go to bat for you. You have that line. And I think they've sold out since then. But this was, you know, again, this is about I think when they wrote this with that line still somewhat in mind.
Yeah, yeah. So here, let me make this full screen and then see. I tried to expand this to make the text bigger for everyone, but it's not going to work out because it turns into a mobile thing. But the Patriot Act, we all kind of know what the Patriot Act is, so I won't go into that too much. Why Congress passed the Patriot Act, and this was, again, we kind of know this, but this talks about how when they did this, and I'll leave the link in the show notes because I know it's going to be kind of hard to read, but they talked about when they did this, after 9/11, there was this almost like panicked rush to get this pushed through. And Bush even kind of used, it's that rhetoric, that political rhetoric, right? Bush, who I'm convinced is a Democrat. The more I read about that dude, I'm convinced he's a Democrat. But he pushed this rhetoric where he was saying, if this happens again, it's on you if you don't pass this. And it basically got rammed through like a lot of stuff does, where they didn't really have time to read it, didn't have time to go through it like they wanted to. Although in the years that passed, and we'll go over this, they've had plenty of time to read it and it's still here. So,
yeah. So here's the deal, man. I think that's all sometimes nonsense, because we say that, well, they didn't have time. They have staffs, right? They know what's going in these bills. They plead ignorance. So when it comes to the Patriot Act, they knew what this was getting, what they were going to. You know, and George Bush, I think we keep trying to act like there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats. It's a difference in how they present their angle. It's the same thing. It's the establishment. George Bush is an establishment person. If he wasn't an establishment person, he wouldn't have gotten us into an illegal conflict that cost thousands of lives, hundreds of thousands of lives, and the U.S. taxpayer millions, billions of dollars. Like, all his buddies got rich. So,
yeah, all I see anymore is pictures of him with like Bill Clinton and Obama, the three stooges, basically. So I'm convinced he's a Democrat.
Well, he's tried to do, he's done some public speaking in recent times and had people showed up, like veterans have shown up at his public speaking things and have challenged him, like started like, hey, why don't you, like, why did you get us into Iraq? What about the weapons of mass destruction? Like, why are you, you know, and they always shut those people down.
Yeah. What about all the people that died because you wanted to be just like dad?
Yeah. Well, and again, that leads us back to the Patriot Act, right? What are the results of the Patriot Act?
Yeah. And this article, let me put this on. This article goes through a lot of the surveillance stuff in the Patriot Act, and there's a lot more to it. And then I've got another article that I'll talk about later on about how many times this has been re-upped. But this basically right here, the Patriot Act increases the government power to spy in four areas. Record searches. So it expands the government ability to look at records and individual activity being held by third parties. Secret searches. So it expands their ability to search private property without notice to the owner. Intelligence searches. So it says it expands the narrow exception to the Fourth Amendment that had created for the collection of foreign intelligence information. And that's the guys they used to start all this stuff, right? Was the foreign intelligence, the anti-terrorism, all that stuff. And since then, it's been, they found these loopholes that can be used to fit their narrative purposes.
It's not even loopholes, man. They write this stuff in. They take it from, you know, okay, we're using it against people overseas. Now, how do we just turn the focus so we can use it internal? And then it's just a rewriting of the script. Like, they just go in and change law. Like, we know that they went in and defined everybody, or that the government is allowed to define who terrorists are. And we know that they've put into effect that if you are defined and you fall into their category of considered of a terrorist, that they can use the assets of the U.S. military against you. We talked about Posse Comitatus last week. Hey, they've even gotten around that. Part of the thing that we didn't discuss in that is they've gotten around it just by labeling people terrorists. If you're labeled as domestic terrorist, you're now a terrorist. They are authorized. My understanding is they are authorized then to use the full weight of the government, regardless of Posse Comitatus, to spy on you, to do whatever they want to you.
And you know what's interesting? And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to find it in this article, but they referenced in this article that because of the Patriot Act created the term domestic terrorism. So there you go. I mean, it's like you were talking about. Well, I said it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't. They found loopholes, and you were like, maybe they created them in the first place. You know, yeah. There you go. This article goes through these 4 points that are right here, and they go through a few of them. And I'm just going to go through a couple of these briefly. Like I said, it's an interesting article. Take it for what it is. But expanded access to personal records held by third parties, unchecked power. And basically, this is kind of what we talked about. The result of unchecked government power to rifle through individuals' financial records, medical histories, internet usage, bookstore purchases, library usage, travel patterns, or any other activity that leaves a record. And a couple of these are right here, and then I'll let you expand on it. But the government no longer has to show evidence of the subjects of search orders as an agent of a foreign power. So basically, they can go right along, you know, to an American. And that's kind of how they skirt things, right? They go, if you are somehow tied, or they can somehow tie you into some sort of foreign intelligence, then they can grab you into that stuff, or they can use that domestic terrorism label, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the next one is the FBI does not even have to show reasonable suspicion of criminal activity.
Yeah.
Like literally they just go, hey, we want to go target Bob. We don't have the rest doesn't have to be a reason. We're just going to target Bob. Be a terrorist. Maybe we don't know. He stopped and got gas station, you know, gas somewhere from some guy that had a gas station that had a terrorist come through 5 years ago. Maybe he's a bad guy. We need to go look at his shit. Like, they don't need any of that stuff.
Yeah,
it's all the stuff that's anti-freedom, warrants, the right to privacy, the right not to have to quarter troops, all this kind of shit. This is flows out of this. It's a violation of everything but a large chunk of the stuff that made us have, that prompted a revolution in 1776 is right here in this shit. And they're pushing towards that because they're fucking drunk on power.
Yeah. This next one right here is interesting too. After that, the judicial oversight is non-existent, meaning that all they have to do is certify a judge, and they don't have to give the judge proof for or anything like that for what they're looking for. Well, and the judge is not even allowed to reject the application. So basically, it's kind of the same thing.
Well, think about the FISA warrants, when they do have rules in front of them, the FBI just lies and goes around it.
Yeah. Yeah. This one right here, I think, is really concerning. Surveillance orders can be based on a part of a person's First Amendment activities, like the books they read, the websites they visit, or the letters to the editor they've written. So basically, whatever you can do can be used against you in the court.
Well, here's the cool thing, man. So let's just take any doubt off the table. If you're a YouTuber or a podcaster or a website owner that talks about resilience and preparedness and all that, that applies to you. And if you're one of the people that watch this channel and those other channels, and you go to the websites and you're about resilience and you buy shit from Amazon that's about resilience and you buy books on how to prepare, you qualify too.
Yeah.
We're all one big happy little family of government defined. Hey, you people who don't want, you people who just want to live your lives. Yeah, that's criminal.
If you're that guy that uses his credit card these days that goes to a gun store, you're on that list. If you go to an army surplus store, you're on that list. You know, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if going to Cabela's, because as preppers, you know, Cabela's is a fun. I mean, it's almost like Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, Cabela's is a gun store.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And hunting and yeah, all of that stuff. So, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you're on that list. This part right here, I thought was pretty interesting. This article, why the Patriot Act's expansion of record searches is unconstitutional. And a couple of these here, it violates the Fourth Amendment, which says the government cannot conduct a search without obtaining a warrant showing probable cause that they believe that somebody committed a crime. The second one violates the First Amendment's guarantee to free speech by prohibiting the recipients of search warrants from telling others about the search warrant. This, I when I read that, and I don't know if it's the same thing or not, I thought of Mike Lindell the other day, right? When he gets on, because he just got raided, right? And he said something like, oh, they told me not to say anything. And I thought, bullshit.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say. When they come after you with a warrant, you're not allowed to tell other people that they came after. Like, oh, no, this is a secret warrant. It's so secret. Like, even though we violated your rights and we didn't tell you about it, you know, nothing was coming. Like, and we don't have to really show you much. We don't have to do all this shit. You can't tell anybody about it. If you do, you're going to jail. Like, literally, that's how, like, that isn't that some, that is some commie, Stalin, Nazi level bullshit. Hashtag American motherfucking freedom.
Yeah. And that's why when he said that, I was like, bullshit. This is America. They can't get away with that. I guess they can. The next two real quick. Violates the First Amendment by effectively authorizing FBI to launch investigation on American citizens in part for exercising their freedom of speech. So what you say can get you in trouble or it can authorize them to do whatever the hell they want.
And you know what the fucked up part about that is? There's laws we have rules about what, like the limits of what you can say, like where your freedom starts intruding upon other people's freedoms. And like, no, you can't do that. We have laws. We have laws on the books for all this shit already. They're going above and beyond because that's not good enough. They can't, all you fucking law abiding citizens, we can't get you. So we got to make up secret bullshit so we can get you.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of this, when you put it in its totality, what else do they need? Basically? I mean, there's a million different directions they can come with.
All
this
they need is the ability to like be able to scoop everybody up that they want to scoop up or shut you off or whatever. Right. That's what they're lacking. And for people say, well, that would never happen here. It happened in Europe. Everybody loves Europe. Oh, Europe. It's the greatest place ever. Happened over there, right? They've had issues where they've gone in and wiped out all their opposition or the majority of opposition in one night. It's happened. Yeah. So don't say it fucking can't happen here. It's just them getting to the point where they can fucking make it happen.
Yeah.
They can't round everybody. Like, again, goes back to when we talked about how many people voted, right? First of all, they're not going to be able to round up, 75 million people. Good luck doing that right now for all, to get everybody who voted for Trump. And then out of those other, 150 million people, how are you going to round up, half of those? They don't have the capability yet. They're working on it, though. They're trying to figure out how to get you shut off your banking and all that other stuff. That's where this shit leads to. Well, we have enough of your information that on our spectrum, when we add up all your points total make you a bad guy. So now we have to target you because it's predictive intelligence. It's like Tom Cruise movie, right? Minority Report or whatever. That's it's predictive intelligence. That's what all this shit is.
Pre-crime.
Yeah. Look, I mean, because look at all the things. Oh, yeah. Check this. We don't need to. We can get into all your records. You don't have anything to say about that. And what are they doing? Oh, yeah. You're a bad guy. Look at you met this criteria. You fit this algorithm. Right. Like, I mean, Facebook, right? You know that they seg. We know from past shit at Facebook that they segment you based upon your leanings and what you say and all that. So they're able to do that through all this shit. They have the information.
Yeah. Same shit. And also that goes into this as well. I'm not going to try to find it in this article. It'd be a half an hour, but they talked about how because of the Patriot Act, they can force companies to turn over information. So they can force the Facebooks, the Verizons, the AT&T, bookstores, libraries, I mean, anybody to give over that information that furthers their quote unquote case or something. And again, no questions asked. You're not allowed to ask questions. We're going to do what we're doing. You're just going to have to trust us that it's in the best interest of national security.
Okay. So that gets that's where you get to the point of like cracking the iPhone. So they get an iPhone. They say this iPhone, if we crack it, can save 3,000 lives. Right? Should the government crack the iPhone?
No. No, because that's a can of worms they're opening.
So now they say, okay, it's actually 100,000 lives, and the iPhone owner is McTonough. Fuck you, daddy. Right. Some fucking radical cleric that has funded a bunch of terrorists that are coming to America to fucking that are here in America. And they got one. So should we crack that?
If it's that many people, you are failing at your job that a single iPhone is
capable. I got you. I'm giving you this is like the Kobayashi. Yeah.
I don't think there is. I don't think there is justification for that. And that's my way of thinking. There's a whole lot of people.
I like your way of thinking. I like your way of thinking. And the thing is, because what's going to happen is at some point, like, and the crack your iPhone is basically like the symbol for intrude upon your personal freedoms. So at some point they're going to come up and they're going to say, hey, there's a bad guy. And they'll start it with, fuck you, Baghdadi guy. And so then what happened? Like when the Patriot Act first came out, I fucking was like, I think that's a great thing. We should fucking monitor those bad terrorists overseas. Like, yeah, fuck them. They want to come and kill us. Like, we're going to monitor your cell phones so that way we stop you. Then, oh shit, here it goes. Right. I was fucking dumb. I was ignorant. Well, yeah. They're going to sell that same shit again. Like, we're going to intrude on your rights because we know this guy's trying to kill a million of us but we need to protect us. Right. Yeah. So that's the thing we have to be careful for when this stuff comes down, whether it's Putin, anything, when it appeals to you to limit your, not you, Dale, but in general, when it appeals to us that we should do something that inhibits a personal freedoms because of a cause that the government's telling us about, our default response should be fuck off.
Yeah.
That's what our default response, even if that the people they are going after are someone we fucking can't stand and we oppose that we like that. Again, it gets back to flag burning. I fucking hate to see it. But at the same time, it's like, wow, that's ultimate fucking freedom that I'm going to sit here and watch you like I got to fucking take you expressing your freedom on that like that level.
Yeah, it's the same thing as the Second Amendment. You allow that little chink in the armor, that little crack in the dam. And pretty soon it just expands and expands and expands. So that, hacking into that one cell phone, maybe that little time would be justified or would be beneficial. But what happens after that? You brought something up too. And I forgot to, I have this clip of Gutfeld. You brought up about how you supported it. And I did too. But you brought up how you supported it and that all changed. I think a lot of conservatives, Republicans, whatever, are probably on the same line because after that, that's that never let a good crisis go to waste. After that happened, everybody was on board.
Well, and the thing was, remember how it was presented back then? Hey, dude, 9/11 and all this shit's a long time ago. It was presented as we're going to monitor the bad guys overseas. Like we don't need to get hung up trying to get to information when it's, when it's Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Like that's how it was sold. And that's not what it fucking was. Right. But that's how it got sold. Like I'm like, okay, I don't have a problem with you going and fucking monitoring Osama bin Laden. Shit. We know what he did. The problem was that it's how they do it with everything. It's how, like, when I went through PTSD recovery, one of the things they do is like they get you to think about, hey, like, well, how do you think of the world? And like, my whole thing was, my hang up was, I'm like, the world's all full of dickheads. Everybody in the world's a dickhead. And they're like, well, is everybody a dickhead? And I'm like, everybody you know is a dickhead. Absolutely. Like, and it was like, well, no, my dad's not a dickhead. My dad's a really fucking nice, awesome dude. And I'm like, okay, my dad's not a dickhead. So all they do is they put the little crack in the egg. And once you get that crack, then you're like, well, that person's kind of like my dad. He's not a dickhead or she's not a dickhead either. And then pretty soon you realize, no, the world isn't all dickheads. There's just a vocal group of dickheads in the world that we happen to run into every once in a while. It's the same thing with this kind of stuff, right? Like if they get in there and they crack the egg, oh yeah, Osama bin Laden, go back to the IRS. Hey, we got to pay for this shit. We're only going to tax the top 1%, the top wealthiest 1%. Crack the fucking egg, and then you next thing you know, they're making scrambled eggs out of everybody.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, let me play this clip. It's just a little over a minute, but it's interesting, and it's Gutfeld, so it's funny as well.
make of Mayorkas's performance on 9/11? Seems kind of wrong to me.
Yeah, it was wrong, but at the same time, it's I think it's like a 20-year game of ping pong, because we actually did do some pretty messed up things in this country on the back of 9/11.
Yes.
Let's keep in mind, that was the Republican Party back on the back of 9/11, created a surveillance state that now we live to actually pay for those sins, with another party that came into power is using that to not address international terrorism, but what they call domestic terrorism, really just their political enemies here at home. Mm-hmm. Now play that game of ping pong forward 4, 8, 10 years, could be the Republican Party perpetrating in the other direction. Turn the table, see how the people who are proponents of it now would feel. That's the game we're playing.
I like what you're saying. So the Republicans get in power and then we do it to them.
It's what's going to happen. It's what's going to happen, like it or not.
I was being ironic, you audience people. Basically, what you're saying, I was for the Patriot Act back then, but now the Patriot Act is focused on me, and I don't like it anymore.
Well,
that's a good point.
It's true. So,
yeah, and that kind of is me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of true.
You mentioned something earlier. You said, "Hey, the Patriot Act was where they first started using domestic terrorism," and I haven't read it in there, but I assume it to be true. And so it's kind of interesting, right? The Republicans created the Patriot Act. They rolled up domestic terrorism in that. And now the Democrats are using it to come back and go at them. Again, what's happening, though? It's the establishment setting the stage, creating the tool. Then the establishment, if you don't differentiate between Republicans and Democrats, use that tool to come after part of the people.
Yeah.
And then what do they do? They're going to, at some point when the Republicans get in there, they'll demonize a bunch of people on the left, right? And go, oh, we got to go after them, maybe. And it just goes back and forth. It's the pendulum swing, right? We're creating these tools and like, oh, we're scared. Create a tool. No, it needs to all go away, right? It needs to go away because they want to use the tools against the tax code. Same fucking thing.
Yeah. The sites are constantly on all of us, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on. It's just a matter of who's holding the gun at what point. And that's why it's been reauthorized so many times as well, because, you know, they can rail against it. They can talk bad about this. They can talk bad about that. Let me try to put this on full screen again, see if you guys can see it. But it's not going away, I guess, is my point. And it doesn't matter if it's Republicans in there. It doesn't matter if it's Democrats in there. In this article right here, it says in 2005 and 6, there were provisions in there that were scheduled to sunset. But they actually they made 14 of those original sunset provisions permanent and extended two others. And then in December of 2009, the act also extended the lone wolf provision for the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act. I guess that's the acronym for it, or a different of different kind of the Patriot Act 2.0 type thing is what I'm reading, in 2004, mm-hmm. which permitted the FISC to authorize surveillance and physical searches aimed at foreign nationals who are engaged in international terrorism. So again, it's that international terrorism stuff, but all the other cracks in that this little plan all point the finger straight back at us. So in 2006, it got re-upped. 2009, it got re-upped. 2011, it got re-upped. 2015, Obama actually, he re-upped it, but then he did his USA Freedom Uniting and Strengthening America by Fulfilling Rights and blah, blah, blah Act, which basically replaced the Patriot Act. I don't know that I agree with that it replaced the Patriot Act, but it seems like he took a little bit away to make himself look good, like he was doing something for it, but then right after that, added the shit back. I mean, I don't know if that's exactly what it was, but
dude, they never, again, it goes back to, they never give up. Once they gain power, they gain a tool. They never give it up until they have something better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And hey, while we're talking about timelines, someone made a comment. I don't know if we talked about this yet. Maybe we didn't. I forgot. Someone made a comment in the show when we were talking about Patriot Act. They said that the Patriot Act was ready to go before 9/11. So Dale looked for it. I've looked for it. I haven't been able to find that fact anywhere.
Yeah.
So and the what I've heard people say is there's no way the government could get an act through that quickly. So September 11th, 2001 was 9/11. The act was passed in October 26, 2001. So about five, six weeks later. The government can get its act together when it wants to get something done. Like they can pull shit together. So here's the deal. I'm not saying that's not the case, because that's pretty quick to get a bill done based upon how our government operates.
Yeah,
so if anybody has, like, I don't take facts and stuff until I can look at it and go, okay, I've seen that from like a couple like reputable sources. It's kind of like intelligence verification kind of thing that, you know, you have to have a couple of firsthand accounts to really say, okay, like we're starting to believe this. So if you have anything out there, by all means, put it in the comments. Or shoot it to you know, to Dale and I through the Survival Preppers website, and give us some information so we can come back and address it. But so far, I haven't been able to find that anywhere. I've found rumors and suspicion, but nothing hard and fast that I can point to.
Yeah, and even during that show, I said it wouldn't surprise me one bit that they had something on the books and they were waiting for an opportunity to get it loaded in. But again, I can't find anything that verifies that. Doesn't mean it's not out there. Just means that I can't find it. So everything that I've read, and it could just be that's what people are talking about, was that it was about when it was enacted. And 30 days, yeah, you do think, and I am kind of on that train of thought too, because the government is so inept and so just dysfunctional that it would seem pretty hard for them to get something this intricate into it, bringing it to law, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Well, and it could be one of those things that where it's, you know, something 9/11 happens. And then when Bush gets on the phone with Dick Cheney or they get back in the office, it's like, hey, here's the opportunity. I mean, we know the WMDs didn't exist and that Dick Cheney pretty much orchestrated that, you know, a lot of that to make. I mean, George Bush wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed to make that happen. So a lot of that came out of Dick Cheney, right? So orchestrated a lot of things to make that happen. And so what? So him and his buddies benefited. We know, he divested himself of Halliburton funds. You fucking break people. Come on. Don't be stupid. Right? There's ways they work shit. There's ways, oh, hey, buddy, because I'm a multimillionaire now. I don't need all the money from Halliburton, but we can do this to help me out over here. Like, come on. It all comes out in the wash with those guys. You know, so.
Yeah. The one thing the Patriot Act did for me, though, because like you, I was, you know, you that stuff happens. Your emotions are all high because you just want somebody to pay for what they just did. But it really makes it has heightened my senses or my alertness to the fact that anything that they do that is quote unquote common sense, they really love to use that term. Anything that they do like that, it's bound to get worse and worse and worse, and it's bound to get bastardized and used against you, and it's going to work in their favor, not ours, every single time.
The insane belief that we used to hold that our government would not do anything, like our, in spite of evidence to the contrary, like even before the internet, like we all knew about like the Japanese getting interred in World War II, like we knew about Tuskegee, but. In spite of all, that's just like, that's a red herring. That's like
that's
that,
a one-off.
Not a red herring, but that's like, yeah, it's that one-off. They fucked up that time. But dude, it's been over and over and over and over again. So no, it's not a one-off. It's nobody's there. What do we do as preppers, right? We look at the future and we say, hey, what's we try to analyze risk. What's the potential of this happening down the road? Right. And so how do I prepare for it? You know, people stock up on barter items. Why? Because, well, maybe we end up in some sort of economy where that works out for me. That's risk management. That's what you're doing. That's what we as preppers do. Right. And so I think you have to look at it as risk management. Go, okay, they've repeatedly shown that they're willing to abuse the individual to get their motives. So risk management says anything that they'd say that is for the good of me after this, especially the past track record of the past 20 or 30 years. I know, like, how often has that been for the good of me? The Inflation Reduction Act. Really?
The Inflation Expansion Act?
Reduction Act. Like, the biggest lie act. The Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The act that goes after, like he said, the act that allows them to go after patriots now. Like, people who love America, they're literally trying to find ways to criminalize them. Just think. right? When they change a law on a gun law, and now they criminalize a bunch of people because they changed the brace law, right? They change that, and so they criminalize a bunch of people. Well, now they got the Patriot Act to come after you.
Yeah. That, you know,
oh,
what?
And hey, he bought this with his credit card in a store. So now we can go look after him that because he's, you know, like, dude, it just.
I never made that connection before, but that's hilarious. And that's the way I'm going to think about this from now on, because back then the term Patriot meant something totally different. And they've spent the last 20 years demonizing that term. So now the Patriot Act, I mean, it's the perfect name for it.
Think about it. Like people that used to have the Betsy Ross flag with the 13 stars. Like that was like, I'm a patriot. I love this. Like, this is a great flag because what it represented back then.
Yeah.
Now that you're the FBI says you're a fucking terrorist. Oh, and by the way, since they say you're a terrorist, now you're defined as a terrorist because you got the Betsy Ross flag. They can use the Patriot Act, go past and declare you a domestic terrorist through the NDAA. They can use the Patriot Act against you. So they bring everything about, and that Patriot Act outlines how that they can use those military forces against you. And because you've been declared a domestic terrorist, they don't even have to worry about trying to find a National Guard unit because, again, you're a domestic terrorist, and now they can use the full federal government against you.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, and I can already feel the emails coming. In that article, they stated that that's where the term domestic terrorism came from. So I didn't look and actually research that and everything, but in that article, they said it. So that's what I'm going from with that.
Even if it's, you know, like, I mean, hey, you know, these terms have been around. So even if it was around before then and they just reused it, it set up
or defined
it set up the ability of them to use those laws and define law abiding citizens.
Point the finger inward.
Delta tangos. I think there's only so many times we can use that before Google alerts are going off. alerts are going off at YouTube. But to define it, and then so it all interrelates. Even if that is not 100% accurate, it really doesn't. If you're picking at that, you're picking at the little white spot on the top of the chicken shit. You're still getting shit all over your fucking fingers.
Yeah. It's all concerning, and it's all very interesting because it's pretty predictable how the machine works because they've been doing it forever. And we have such short memories as people that we continue to allow it to happen, or they pull a couple strings here and there and get us focused somewhere else. And then they can push something through. They did a lot of crap because of the pandemic. They were able to get away with a whole lot of crap. They're still doing it right now. He's still using the pandemic to forgive student loans and the HEROES Act and all of that stuff. That is, they're using this stuff anytime there's some. And the World Economic Forum, same thing. Never let a good crisis go to waste. When you have that opportunity, when you get people's sentiment and emotions up, use that while you can.
And that's what they did. The crazy part is, like, let's just say, hey, a Republican gets there. I don't know, Trump, whoever, who the fuck ever gets in there,
DeSantis.
and there's a crisis. They gave us the Patriot Act. So what are they capable of? What is the Republican Party in the middle of some sort of crisis of we've been attacked. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, they feel, I mean, you remember after 9/11, everybody's like scared to open mail. You're scared to go like everybody's like, wow, if I go here, what's going to happen? This and that. Like there was several days that people were like on edge.
Yeah. The anthrax stuff.
And guess what? That's when they got the Patriot Act through. So if we have a major crisis, what are the Republicans capable of? Because all the people, I mean, and here's the thing, you and I align as Republican, I align as a conservative, leaning mostly in a lot of ways. I obviously have some liberal ideas on healthcare and all that. And I'll debate that. Like we can have a conversation. I'm not willing to, right, you know, to like go crazy about it, but like, let's have conversations. But like, what are they capable of taking it? You know, so like when people that watch this, if you're a Republican, fine, be a fucking Republican. I don't care. Everybody marches to like your experience. But just understand, and Democrats too, if your party's doing something, ask, where does that lead? And even though they say, well, this is for your good right now, we've had the just for your good right now shit stuff down our throats for years, and none of it has led to being good for us. Maybe it was good. Maybe we thought it was good for us in the right right now because of the way they couched it and presented it to us, but it hasn't been for the good for been good for us over the long term. It's like a crack dealer. Hey man, make you feel good right now. Just a little taste. Come on. Have a little fentanyl and make you feel good right now.
Yeah.
Your future prospects, though, you might survive that one. Your future prospects aren't very good. And that's what we're getting right now, all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Down that slippery slope faster and faster as every year goes by, it seems like. Empty promises, pitting everybody against each other. This idea of rage now. I think Trump did it where he get everybody at fever pitch, and then now you've got Obama, or not Obama, maybe Obama, Biden, Dark Biden doing his speeches, just getting people fired up. It's
well, and what are they both doing, right? What are both doing when Trump and dude, I loved watching the dynamics of Trump's speeches. The work in the crowd,
definitely
like
entertainment.
When he would read, he like that guy, he reads the teleprompter worse than anybody I've ever heard. Well, and when you're doing, and then like he reads and he really like, he's like, okay, I've read the teleprompter. And then he goes off on one of his tangents and it's like, wow, watching him work the crowd. But what do both sides do? Right. They're not trying to win the other side. They're trying to get their base fired up. Right. That's who comes out and votes. It's your base. So that's all when you see the stuff with Biden, where Biden's going to be an inflaming son of a bitch for the next 2 years, right? That's all he's going to try to do is inflame people. Cause that's how they operate. That's their MO. That's their modus operandi. That's the way they do it. Let's get our base so fired up that our base will go out and scream at the other people.
Yeah.
That's politics today. So I think it's just going to get worse, man.
Yeah, I do too. And that's if we, and I hate to sound like this, but, and I'm only half joking, but that's if we make it that far. This next year could put a big, and I'm not saying completely Mad Maxing out or anything. I'm saying this next year could put a whole monkey wrench into a whole lot of issues and problems, and coming out the other side, who knows what it looks like. But
hey,
as long as everything's status quo, we're still screwed one way or the other.
I mean, I don't think you have to, how far up do you have to scale food shortages right now? Like for holes in our shelves on things like goat. I don't know about you up there, but when you go down your aisles, I walk the food aisles. How's the tomato product section? Like, you know, all the Italian food section. How's the soup section? How's the pet food section? They're looking more and more raggedy, right? So
yeah, there's,
I don't know,
spots.
Like how far down the road do we have to go till then? At some point, when people realize that there's a limited supply of food on the shelves, people are going to start hoarding food. And I don't mean hoarding bad. Look, preppers, I'm the same way. And I've been accused, just like all of us, I've been accused of being a hoarder. But where the person who isn't a prepper just goes in and starts Mad Max buying. Because then the next person that goes in, that goes right to that shelf behind him and sees that shelf empty, because you have the one dude running around with the arm full of food, like, oh, I just realized the need to prepare. That person's going to go grab a bunch of shit. And pretty soon, we know where that fucking leads.
Yeah. As preppers, the onus is on us to do all our hoarding, quote unquote hoarding, before that crap happens. Just like the toilet paper shortage. We do all of our stuff beforehand. That way, when the people that don't really think about this stuff like we do all head out to the store and just ransack it, and then that first group of people that do that get the second group of people and the third group of people and the fourth group of people all fever pitch, and all of a sudden there's nothing left. Us as preppers need to be able to sit back at home, turn on the news, and watch this crap going down, laughing, drinking a beer or whatever.
Well, it's like the scale of stockpiling. When times are really nice and no one's sweating things, stockpiling, everybody looks at you and laughs. That's that stupid thing. When times get a little bit more serious, people, that's not so bad. But when times get real serious and people have and people are going without, that's when it becomes like, oh no, you're a hoarder.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's about other people's levels of preparedness and how they look at you. Right. Oh no, you're a hoarder because you have the stuff that I don't have. And let's not make any bones about it. At some point in the world, if we're moving towards an SHTF event, stockpiling's a fucking race. Stockpiling's like stock car driving, but for people who want to survive the end of the fucking world. Right. Yeah. The person who does the best gets the most has and is most secure has the best chance of making it.
Yeah. You brought up a good point, too. And it's that prepper hate. And I think that's a real thing when you talk about maybe not right now, but when you talk about in some sort of SHTF, some sort of disaster situation, there is going to be that prepper hate where you can get a group of people, say it's a few neighbors that get together and they talk about, oh, Duff over there, he's got, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. There's, you know, how is it fair that he's got all that stuff and we're over here starving? Or, you know, Dale's got this and that, you know, maybe we ought to go over there and just ask him politely for a little bit of stuff since he's got so much. So there is that prepper hate is real.
Chris Weatherman did a good job in his books where when Morgan gets home shortly after, like the locals show up like wanting food and stuff. Right. And it's like, cause he had it, you know, remember there's that old saying, misery makes company.
Yep.
Right. When a bunch of people are sitting around, cause and you know, when a bunch of people don't have food, they don't have to waste all that time. They don't have to spend time cooking the food. So they got extra time to hang out and be hungry together and talk shit with one another about how miserable they are. It's how it's not their fault. But the person who prepared down the road, it's that guy's fault because they're hungry because they haven't shared or whatever.
Yeah.
That's human nature. That's how it works.
Yeah. And I think it's something that we ought to pay attention to because and that goes to the whole community thing as well, is knowing your neighbors and making sure that you know how possible it is that this person aligns on this side or that side and kind of gauging those things right now, because that will be a situation. And the more densely populated the area, the bigger that concern is, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I think finding what people are good at too, because when if stuff ever does go crazy and go to heck in a handbasket, there are a lot of people who may not have the supplies, but they offer a lot of benefit. So, you know, if you can figure out what they're good at and maybe that can work, that helps build your community. You have to build community, man. You have to build a community, right? Yeah. You can't do the medical stuff on your own. You can't be awake 24/7. You have, I talk about in the Mind for Survival book that just finished yesterday. It's, you have to build community. It has to be part of your plan, your long-term plan or it's just not going to work out for you. You're going to be, you know.
Well, if you've got that group conspiring against you, that prepper hate, they're conspiring against you to come get your stuff, you're going to need a group of your own to be able to defend yourself. So, yeah, it's absolutely important. Or you're taking off, you're bugging out, and you're leaving all of your crap behind anyway. I mean, that's your two options right there. So,
yeah.
I mean, we... The odds, we talk about it all the time, the odds of something becoming that large scale are pretty slim. But even if you're just talking something that's a short scale, even for a week, it wouldn't take very long for people to just flip out and start doing crap like that. Even on a short scale a week, I think you'd see some of that stuff. And then all of a sudden things would get better. If there wasn't support, I suppose, if there wasn't the ability to get something, people would, after a few days, start flipping their crap. So,
yep. Yeah, definitely.
And then hide your stuff. We talked about caches in the after show the other day. Maybe build yourself a root cellar and store all your shit down there.
Yeah, right.
So, all right. Well, that's it for the topics today. You have anything else you want to add? I ask you this at the end of every show. I don't know why I do.
No, man, I'm good. We just we recorded this and we did the morning live stream. I'm about videoed out for the day. It's time to go grab some lunch and.
Yeah, I am too. So, anyway, I appreciate it, everyone. Everyone in the chat, we will be back next Sunday at our normal live time. But with that, take care and prepare, everyone. We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com. Or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.